Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chaf Beis, and we have four lines from the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, Berashe Chadashim Uvecholoi Shal Moed, Koyrin Arba Vechulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Rufu Shalem of Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, of Vadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Hena Perel Bas Yecheved, Rufol Kahas Ben Fega, Sara Nechama Bas Rus Malka, and Baruch Ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned, Le'ilu Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So, yesterday we began the third parak of Masechtas Megillah, which deals very much with the halachos of Kriyas HaTorah. So today's daf is going to pick up on that note and really delve a little more into the halachos of Kriyas HaTorah. So just to preview what it is we need to make the daf flow be'ezras Hashem smoothly. Number one, the Mishnah said that the takana of Kriyas HaTorah differs from Kriya to Kriya. Meaning, sometimes there are three people that are Oilu L'Torah, sometimes four, sometimes five, sometimes six, sometimes seven. The Mishnah said, Mondays, Thursdays, Shabbos, Mincha, three. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, four. Yontif, five. Yom Kippur, six. Shabbos, seven. So the minimum amount of Koyrim that you're going to have is three. The maximum is seven, unless there's Hoysophis, then you could already have even more than seven. Another thing that we saw was that even the shortest Kriya has to be made up of 10 Psukim. So you can never have a Kriya Satira that's going to be made up of less than 10 Psukim. Another thing that the Gemara didn't say, but we know, and that is that each Kriya Batira has to read, or at the very less, be Oila for three Psukim. So you can't have an Aliyah that's going to be made up of less than three Psukim. It's going to be mavur in today's daf that there's a halacha that if you're reading from the Sefer Torah and you start a new parsha in the Torah. Now, the definition of a parsha in the Torah doesn't mean you start parshas Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha. But rather, a new parsha means a new portion in the Torah defined as peis and samachs. So the Torah, based on halacha l'moshe misinai and based on Mesirah, has peis and samachs throughout. They're not physically in the Sefer Torah, but what we know is that as Psuches and Stuma, it's just based on the way the Sefer Torah is supposed to be written, and that is really the gvul, it's the boundary of what makes up a parsha. So whatever's considered a parsha from a stam perspective, so there's a halacha that if you're reading from a Sefer Torah and you begin a parsha, you have to read at least three psukim from that parsha. You can't start a parsha and read less than three psukim of that parsha. There's another halacha that if you're reading the Balkoyer is through a parasha, and you're coming towards the end of the parasha, you can't stop unless there's going to be three psukim remaining from where you stopped until the end of the parasha. So these are some technical halachos that are really only negeya if you're a Balkoyer, but going to be very negeya as it relates to Pasha Pshan in today's daf. Now today's daf is going to begin with a very unique Kriya Satayra, and that's the Kriya Satayra of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, as we mentioned, is one of the days that you have four people that are Oilu L'Torah. So you don't have three aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh, even during the weekday. You have four people that are Oilu L'Torah on Rosh Chodesh. Now what do you lane on Rosh Chodesh? You lane the Parsha of the carbon musaf that was brought on Rosh Chodesh, Bizmad Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. That parasha is in Parshas Pinchas, and the truth is all the musafin are in Parshas Pinchas, which is why on Yontif, the mafter, which is always the carbon musaf that was brought on that day, Yontif, is always Parshas Pinchas. So today you have the Kriyas HaTorah in the Siddurim, but once upon a time when you needed a chumash, you'd always mish up to Parshas Pinchas, because Parshas Pinchas is where all the musafim are. Included in that is the musaf of Parshas Rosh Chodesh. So the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh is the carbon musaf of Rosh Chodesh. The truth is, the carbon musaf of Rosh Chodesh is mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, but it's only five psukim. It begins uvarashe chadshechem takrivu oilu l'Hashem parim bnei bakar shnayim v'ayalechad kvasim bnei shana shiva tamimim. It's five psukim. The fifth pasuk is usir izim echad l'chatas l'Hashem al oilas hatamid yeyase v'nisko. So there's really five psukim in the Torah that talk about the carbon musaf on Rosh Chodesh. Now five psukim is not a kriyas haTorah. It's certainly not a kriyas haTorah for four people to be oilu l'Torah. So what do we read? We actually read three parashias. We read the parsha of the Karban Tamid that was brought every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Then we read the parsha of the Karban Musaf of Shabbos, Uvayim HaShabbos, Shnei Kvasim, B'nei Shana Temimim, Ushnei Yisroel, Nemesayilas Mincha, B'lulu V'Hashem, V'Niskoy, Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatoy, Al Oilas HaTamid V'Niskoy. And then afterwards we read the Karban Musaf that was born in Rosh Chodesh. So really the Kriya is made up of three parshas: the Tamid, then Shabbos, and then the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. The truth is, you're going to ask, what does the kriya of the Talmud that was brought every day have to do with Rosh Chodesh? So, number one, even if it didn't have to do, Mamaisa, we need enough psukim to be able to have four people be oil of the Torah. But the truth is, it's not such a kasha. Number one, the Karban Talmud was brought in Rosh Chodesh. It was brought every day. But even on a deeper level, what was the Karban Musaf? It was a hisafa. The word musaf means extra. Extra to what? Every day there was a Karban Tamid that was brought in the morning and in the evening. Be noisif to that, on certain days we added another Karban. Meaning there's a very close connection between the Karban Musaf and the Karban Tamid. And it's for that reason, a mikri yaitzim idei pshutai, that the Karban is called a Karban Musaf. So we begin with the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Beinu Arbayim. The next parish in the Torah is the parish of Musaf of Shabbos. We're not going to skip that. And then afterwards, we mention the parish of Rosh Chodesh. Now, if you look in the psukim inside, these three parishes, and again, there are three parishes from the Pei Samach perspective, these three parishes are broken up as follows. The first parasha, which is the parasha of the Karban Tamid, is made up of eight psukim. It's eight psukim. Then the second parasha, Uvayoy Mashabbos, is two psukim. And then the third parasha, Uvarashi Chatshaychim, this is the Iker parasha that we're reading, it's Rosh Chodesh, that's why we're doing all this, that's made up of five psukim. So it's 8 + 2 + 5, which together is 15. We're going to have to get 4 aliyahs into these 15 psukim, but more importantly, we're going to have to get 4 aliyahs into these 3 parshias. And based on the rules and the regulations that we mentioned in the introduction, that it's not a hefkervel, you can't just read any 3 psukim you want, but rather you have to be consistent with some of these rules. The Gemara now is going to try to solve this riddle and this chida. How is it that you have 4 people that are oilu l'Torah on Rosh Chodesh, yet at the same time conform and comply with the basic rules and regulations of Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah? Zok de Gemara, Barashei Chadashim, Uvechayloi Shalmayit, Kairin Arba, V'chulu. Boy, Menei Ula Bar Rav, Mei Rava. So Ula Bar Rav asked Rava the following question. He said, Parashas Rosh Chodesh, Ketz and Kairin Oysa. How do you read Parashas Rosh Chodesh? The Balkair, Tzavis, B'nei Yisrael, V'yomar Talem, Es Karboni Lachmi. The first parsha of the Kriya Satayr Rosh Chodesh, which is the Kriya of the Karban Tamid, the Havna Tamna Psuki, which is made up of eight psukim, Hechin Avid. So what do you do with those eight psukim? Nikri trade Tlasa Tlasa. Should you have two people get up and be Oila? The first person is going to read the first 3 psukim. The second Oila, the next 3 psukim, Pashul Utrei. You're going to end up leaving 2. That's dead on arrival. The Eimesh Shairim Beparsha, Pachas Mishloisha Psukim. You can't finish an aliyah if there's less than 3 psukim remaining for the rest of the parsha. Nikri Arba Arba. Okay, very simple. You'll have 2 people be Oila. Each person won't read 3 psukim, but rather each person will read 4 psukim. Pashul Hushiva. The problem is, now you're going to end up with 7 psukim left. 7 in the next 2 parashias. What's the breakdown? Uvayoy Mashabbos Havin Trey. 2 from Uvayoy Mashabbos Uvrash Chachechem Havi Chamisha. And 5. Okay, and Echin Avet. What are you going to do with those 7 psukim? Nikri Trey Meha V'chad Mihanoch. Do you want one person to get up and he'll be Oila? He'll read Uvayoy Mashabbos. And then he'll read those 2 psukim plus the first pasuk of the 3rd parasha Uvrash Chachechem V'chad Mihanoch. Emaschilim Beparasha Pachas Mishleish Psukim. You can't start a new parasha in Kriyas HaTorah unless you're going to read at least 3 psukim. Nikri Trey Meha v'tlasa mehach. If you want, maybe the second person or the third person that's being oila, he's going to read the 2 psukim of Uvayoy Mashabbos, plus he'll read 3 psukim of Uvarashay Chachechem of the 3rd parasha, so you won't violate this principle that says that you're not allowed to start a parasha unless you read 3 psukim. The promise Pashul Utre, you're going to be left off with 2 for the 4th person that's being oila l'taira, and that's not good because he needs to have 3. Amar Loisa, he told him. So again, this is Ulu Bar Rav's question to Rava, just basic math, and just knowing all the rules, how do you have 4 people be Oila and read the 3 parshiyos, the 15 psukim of Rosh Chodesh? So he told him like this, Zulay Shamati. I'll be honest with you, I have no messiah on this. I don't know. However, Kiyotze Ba Shamati, but I heard something similar. And I think if we analyze some other similar discussion that earlier Amiram had, we may be able to be medama milsa la milsa. We'll be able to take that rule, apply it over here, and maybe we'll have a resolution. What's this other halacha? And if it sounds familiar, it's because we had this very, very recently, only a few weeks ago. Masechtas Tainis Daf Chavav, the time we learned in the Mishnah, B'yom HaRishon. So the Mishnah over there was discussing the Mamadis. So the Mamadis was an integral part of a carbon and the Anshei Maimed, the members of the Mamadis, they were Yisraelim. The Kehanim had their role that they played in bringing Karbanas. Leviim had their role that they played in bringing Karbanas. And Yisraelim also, sometimes forgotten, but played a very important role in Karbanas. And they were known as the Anshei Maimed. And Anshei Maimed were divided into two groups. Some were stationed in the Azar, in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to be there, present, while the Karbanas Sibur were being brought. But the others that were scattered in Bati Knesis and Bati Midrashas throughout the world. And their job was to fast and to have special kriyas haTorah and to learn Torah and really to be mispiled to the Eibishter that all the karbanas, everything should be oil the ratzon. As we mentioned at the time, that even when there were karbanas, we still needed tefillah to make sure that the karbanas were going to play out the right way. So the Mishnah over there mentions what the kriyas haTorah of the Mamadis was. And it says as follows, B'yom HaRishon, the first day, they would read Bereishis, V'yihi Rokiah. Bereishis is the first parsha in the Torah. Begins Bereishis, Bara Lekim Es HaShemayim Ves HaOretz, V'Oretz Hois HaSoyu V'Voyu V'Chay. And then afterwards, they would read Yehi Rokiah. So this is what they would read. They would read the parasha Bereishis and the parasha of Yehi Rokiah. We're going to the brayse Bereishis b'shnai. The aliyah of Bereishis, two people would be oila. Yehi Rokiah be'echad. Yehi Rokiah, only one person would be oila. So the Gemara said, "Vahvina bo, we had a kasha. Bishlam Yehi Rokiah be'echad. Bishlam Yehi Rokiah. That one parsha in the Torah, one person was the oila. The tlasa psukah hava. It's made up of three psukim, one person's oila the Torah. That's very simple. Ela bereishis b'shnayim. But the parsha bereishis, he had two people being oila the Torah. Chamisha psukah hava. It's five psukim. The Tanya we learned to the brayse. Akoyer b'Torah le'yifches mishloish psukim. Now we have it. That someone that's koyer b'Torah can't read less than three psukim. So how you can have two people be oila? For Bereishis, Bar Lekim Es Hashmayim V'Sar, it's that parsha in its entirety, which ends with Vayyer Vayvoki Yoy Mechad. It's five psukim. So how do you have two people be oila to five psukim? Itmar Allah. So Rav is talking still, and he said, "I'll tell you what I heard." Rav Amar Doileg V'Shmuel Amar Poisek. There was Machlek. It's Rav and Shmuel had to go about it. Rav said Doileg. Rav said two people are going to lay in these five psukim. But the way it's going to work is the first oila is going to lay in the first, second, and third. And then the second oil is going to be doileg. Usually doileg means to skip. Here doileg means to go backwards. And what he's going to read is 3, 4, and 5. So the third pasuk is going to be read twice. But the point is, two people will be able to be oil for these five psukim. Each one will have three. How are you going to do that? It's five. Five divided by 2 is 2.5. The teretz is the third pasuk two people are going to read. Shmuel said pasuk. Shmuel said no. You take the third pasuk, you cut it in half, and the first oila is going to read 2.5 psukim, and the second oila is going to be read 2.5 psukim. So first the Gemara explains Rav and Shmuel, and then we're going to put it all together. Rav, Rav said doileg. Rav said that what you should do is be doileg. My time, Ilema Paisik. Why do you say be Paisik? Meaning each one sounds a little bidiyevet. To read a pasuk twice sounds like bidiyevet, and to be Paisik, to cut a pasuk in half, certainly sounds like bidiyevet. So why are we doing it this way? So Rav said doileg. Why didn't he say Paisik? That's easy, because however he holds kol psukut le paske moish, anan le paskinole. Why would we cut a pasuk in half if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it? And by the way, it's not just why would we rhetorically. It's usher. He holds there's a din that kol psukut le'paske Moshe. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't cut in half, we're not allowed to cut in half. As if to say you're not allowed to recite in any formal sense a half a pasuk. We have read bites on this. What about Kiddush? Vayer vayivoki yemecha. That's a half a pasuk. So this is right. But the point is, so therefore we know that that's not an option. Shmuel Amar Paskin. Like Shmuel said, Paskin on the Freita Gemara. How could Shmuel allow it? For Amar Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya said Kora. Chananya, the Balkaire, or Rab Chananya, the one who used to teach Kriya, Tzar Gadol Hoyli Eitz Rab Chanina HaGadol. I had a lot of pain when I was in the presence of Rab Chanina HaGadol. And he didn't allow me to chop Sukkim in half unless it was for the purpose of Tinaikish HaBeis Rabim. For them, they needed to be learned the Pasuk sometimes, so he allowed me to do it. But otherwise, he didn't allow me. So what's the kasha? How could Shmuel allow Poisek? L'chura, we know that Rab Chanina HaGadol didn't allow it. So the Gemara says very simple. Now, hasam time in my mishum to leafshu. You see that Rab Chanina HaGadol did allow it for children. Why? L'islami dasuyin. They needed to be able to learn. So hachanami leafshu. Here too, it's leafshu. And it's for that reason he allowed it. So Rav said doileg. Why didn't he say poisei? Because he yelled kol psuka de lepaske moisha anan lepaskinan. Aye, Shmuel doesn't know kol psuka de lepaske moisha anan lepaskinan. True, he does know that. But he knows that if it's a shas hadchak, we make an exception to the rule. Shmuel holds this is a shas hadchak. Now the Gemara is going to say, Shmuel, I'm a poisek, my time of leyamar doilig. Why didn't he say doilig? And the kash is, number one, why didn't he say doilig? And number two, you're telling me there is no other option, therefore it's a shas hadchak, and therefore you're allowed to violate the rule of kopsukot lepaske moisha, just do what Rav said. Be doileg, and it won't be a shas hadchak. So the Gemara says, gzeira mishum ha-nechnosin u-mishum ha-yoytzen. The reason he didn't want to be doileg is because he was afraid about the people that are going to come late and the people that are going to come early. Meaning, what's going to happen if somebody missed the first aliyah? So he's going to walk in, and he's going to see that the chazan starting with pasuk gimel, which is going to be mashma that the first oyla l'tayra only read two psukim. Now the truth is, he read three psukim. The reason right now the Balkayra is starting with pasuk gimel is because he's being doilek. He's repeating the third pasuk for a second time. But he's not going to know that because he came a little bit late. So it's for that reason he said, Mishum ha-nechnasin, the person that comes in late, I'm not okay with this. Mishum ha-yoytzin is the same thing. Because if the first person is going to read three psukim, and then he's going to stop, and he's going to leave only two psukim in the parasha, so it's going to look like the next person that's going to be oyla l'tayra is only going to read two psukim. So what happens if somebody leaves early? So we're so worried, like we saw in yesterday's daf, about the nechnasim and the yoytzin, the people that come late and the people that leave early. So it's for that reason, Shmuel said, I don't think doilek is an option. The only option is to be poisek. Ah, you're going to tell me to be poisek is not okay because kol psukah deloy paske moisha anan loy paskinon. But at the same time, you see, to teach children, it's okay. Why? Because you have no choice. It's a shas hadchak. I believe that this is a shas hadchak as well. So again, we're in the middle of creating this precedent that we're going to eventually apply back to Kriyas HaTorah and Rosh Chodesh. So right now we're discussing the Kriyas HaTorah of the Ma'amadis. And by the Kriyas HaTorah and Ma'amadis, we had a similar situation as we did to the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because you had two people that were Oilo L'Torah to read five psukim. And how do you do that? And there was Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said you should be Doilek. Shmuel said that you should be Poisek. Why? Because they both agreed that to do this in the conventional and traditional way is not an Eitzah. So therefore, we have to do something that's out of the ordinary. The question was, what's the lesser of the two evils, so to speak? Is it better to be Doileg? Or is it better to be Paisek? Not like Atchila to be Doileg, it's not like Atchila to be Paisek. But at the same time, we have to do something just to leave it the way it is, Nishkan Eitzah. So we have to do something. That was the question. What's this? Freight thing or Meisvei? I don't understand this whole predicament. Parashat Shal Shisha Psukim, there's a price that says, if you have a parashat that's made up of six psukim, Kairin Eisev Eshtayim, two people, Eilu L'Tayim, Shal Chamisha Psukim. Let's say you have a parashat that's made up of five psukim. So the halach is like this. Be Yachid. One person is Eilu L'Tayim. Kairin Rishin Shalisha. What happens if one person read three? Hasheni Kairin Shnayim, Mi Parashazu. The second person should read two psukim from this parasha, Ve'echa Mi Parasha Acheres, and one pasuk from the following parasha. Yeshayimrim, and there's the Yeshayimrim that says Shloisha. No, that you have to read three psukim from the following parasha. L'fisha im maschilim b'parasha pachas mishloisha psukim. Because you can't start a parasha with less than three psukim. What's the kasha? Ve'im iso. Now, if you're going to tell me that there's something called being doileg and there's something called being poisek, l'manda ma doileg, according to mandama that says doileg nidloik, why not just be doileg? L'manda ma poisek, and according to mandama that says poisek nifsoik, just be poisek. Again, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a parasha that's made up of five psukim. And basically, what we're saying is that one person will go up, he'll read three psukim. The next person, too. You can't just read two. He says, no worries, just go into the next parasha. How many psukim into the next parasha? One mandama says, just one pasuk. The other mandama says, no, you can't just read one pasuk in a new parasha. Right, we saw that earlier. You can't start a parasha with less than three psukim. So read three psukim into the next parasha. But the Gemara's kasha is that why are you doing this? Just be doilig and be pasuk. So what's the Gemara's tar? It's very simple. Shani yasim dev shabahachi. To be doilig and pasuk, we just spoke out five times, is a bidiyevit. It's not the katchila way of doing it, it's the bidiyevit way of doing it. You have no choice, you have no choice. Over there, you do have a choice. Now, what's the difference? Why there do you have a choice and here you don't have a choice? So Rashi explains, by the Ma'amadis, we were very precise and very specific in terms of what the Kriya was. We're reading Kriyas HaTorah related to the day of the week, related to what the Eibishter created on that day of the week. That's what's happening in that Mishnah Masechtas Tainis. The Kriyas HaTorah is very tailored and customized to what's going on. So you can't just go ahead and start reading Parshas Noach in the middle of the Ma'amadis. But regular Kriyas HaTorah Monday and Thursday, you could do whatever you want, right? It sounds a little strong. You could do whatever you want. But that's what Rashi says. Quote, Shun yachal lichgreis masha yirtze. Read whatever you want. That's fine. So there's no reason not to be able to start a new parasha. Meaning, doileg and poisek is the last resort option. And we're being doileg and poisek over there because we don't have a choice. But if you do have a choice, it's a Monday, Thursday, we're really, you're at your discretion in terms of Kriyas HaTorah. We just don't want to go 3 days without Yidden hearing Torah. So good, there's an Eitzah. Go ahead and go weiter. That in and of itself is going to be okay. So as a postscript to this, Amar Rab Tanchum, Amar Rab Shua ben Levi. Rab Tanchum said in the name of Rab Shua ben Levi, Halacha. The halacha is like the Yesh Ha'imrim. So who's the Yesh Ha'imrim? So again, we're referring back to this last brisa that we just said, that you have a parsha that's made up of five psukim. You have two people that are going to be oil l'tayr. The first person is going to read three psukim. The second person is going to read two, but two is not enough. So you have to go into the next parsha. So what does it mean? You're going to go into the next parsha. You're going to read either one pasuk from the next parsha, or you're going to read three psukim into the next parsha. So the Yesh Ha'imrim said shloisha. You have to read three psukim into the next parsha. So I said Rav Tanchon named Rav Shulben Levi. Halach is like the Yesh Ha'imrim. You have to read three. I'm Rav Tanchon, Rav Shulben Levi. Rav Tanchon said named Rav Shulben Levi. Kishem she'im maschilim beparsha pachas megimel psukim. Just like you can't start a parsha less than three psukim. Kach in meshayrim beparsha pachas meshloisha psukim. So too, you can't leave three psukim. Less than three psukim. It's pasha you can't leave less than three psukim. Umas chalta the kamekel tanakama machmiri yeshayimrim. Madach starting where the tanakama is mekel. Here you have a shita's tanakama that says you could start a parasha even with one pasuk. Still the yeshayimrim is machmir. Shir the machmir tanakama. When it comes to being meshayer, that the tanakama himself was machmir, you don't find that he was mekel. Like kolshkein the machmiri, certainly it'd be machmir the yeshayimrim. So the Gemara says there's a svara to say, even though it's true as far as the tanakama goes, it's mashma that he was only makel by starting. So based on that, you would say it's more poshet that you have to be sensitive to what you leave than it is in terms of the way you start. But there is a svara to say the opposite. There is a svara to say that maybe we'll be more machmer in terms of not starting versus finishing. What does that mean? Because ma'od teima, I would have thought nichnasin shrichi yoitzim loy shrichi. What's this whole Indian of not starting a parasha unless you read three psukim, or not ending a parsha unless you're going to leave over three psukim? It's, we're worried about, again, the nechnasim and the yoitzim. If you're going to start a parsha and you're going to only say one pasuk, the next person that's going to be oila, who comes a little bit late, is going to think that, oh, the previous oila probably started in the beginning of the parsha, all he read was one pasuk. So the person that comes late, he's the person that you're worried about. What's the issue of leaving over three psukim? The person that leaves early. If you're going to leave over less than three psukim, there'll be two psukim left or one pasuk left. A person that leaves early is going to think, oh, the next oila tayr is only going to finish the parsha and he's going to be done. So this is all about the nechnasim and the yoitzim. So based on that, we could play with the psychology a little bit. So it could be the Gemara holds that there would be a svara to say that nechnasim ashchichi, it's shchiach for somebody to come a little bit late. So therefore, we're going to be sensitive to make sure that in the beginning of a parsha, make sure you read the three psukim. Because if a person comes late, he's going to think that the previous oiler read less than three psukim. But yoitzim lo shchichi, but the yoitzim are already lo shchich. Why not? People don't leave early. The manchi sefer Torah v'nafki. It's not shchich that somebody's going to leave when there's a sefer Torah. So I would have thought that maybe fakert, you can finish however you want to finish. You want to finish the parsha and leave one or two psukim. Maybe that's okay. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. So the Gemara says v'tana kamo. Now we're going back to the sheet of the Tanakama. Tanakama holds that when it comes to leaving over, you can't leave less than three psukim. The reason is Mishum Yoitzim. Obviously, he's worried about the Yoitzim. Aschuli Nami. So therefore, why does he hold you could start a parasha with only one pasuk? Why doesn't he say Gzeri Mishum Anichnasim? Amri, so the Gemara says, Man da ayol shiule shayl. Again, this is all psychology. This is far to say that when a person walks into shul, he asks, he says, tell me what happened, what did I miss, who got the aliyah, right? So you start schmoozing a little bit and you start asking what's going on. I mean, that's what it sounds like, but Shiuli Shayol, and it's based on that the Gemara says a Sholach Le Rabbi Breid the Rav of the Rav Yosef. So Rabbi Breid Rav Yosef, Breid the Rav, a center of Yosef. Hilchas Amai. What's the halacha with regards to this whole Shayol? And the truth is, Machleik is Rashi, and the Rishonim had to learn this Gemara. Rashi learns, that's how we're going to learn Hilchas Amai regarding the Machleik is Rav and Shmuel regarding the Mamodos. So what's the halacha? Rav said Doileg, Shmuel said Paisik. What do we paskin? So the Gemara says Sholach Le, he sent back the following Hilchas a Doileg. You're supposed to be doileg the emtsoi doilgon, and you're supposed to be doileg the emtsoi. It's the middle aliyah is the one that you doileg, and that's what we paskin. We paskin like Rav. So it's interesting that the way Rashi learns the Gemara really never closed the loop, right? We started off with trying to figure out how you work out the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh. You have four people, 15 psukim, but really more importantly, you have three parshias, and based on all the rules and regulations, a little bit complicated how you figure out all these four psukim. And the Gemara said that Ula Bar Rav was the one that asked and posed this question to Rav, and Rav basically told him that Zulay Shamati, I don't know, but at the same time, Kiyotzeba Shamati. I heard something very similar. And he shtel to the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara never put it back together. The Gemara never came out what the halach is. But I guess the assumption is that he's shteling to Rav and Shmuel, meaning he's basically saying that according to Rav, you should be Doileg. And according to Shmuel, you should be Poisek. And then he said that in terms of The Gemara said, the machloik is by the mamadois. There, we paskin like Rav Doilig. So, no, if we paskin like Rav Doilig by the mamadois, the same is going to be Churash Chaydesh. We're going to end up being Doilig, which is, of course, exactly what we do. And that's what we do. We're Doilig. What do you mean we're Doilig? So, the way it works is the first oil of the Torah reads the first three psukim. Vayidaber Shem al Moshe Lehmet Savas ben Yisrov, Vayimarta Lehmet Karboni Lachmi, Vayimarta Lehmet Zeh, Yishayash Ater Krivu Lashem. That's the end of the first aliyah. And then the second person, that's oil of the Torah, starts again. Vayimarta Lehem Zeho Isha. So that's the one pasuk that we're doiling. Bottom line is based on the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. We know that Allah is like Rav when it comes to Issa v'Heter. So we paskin like Rav by the Mahmadis. We paskin like Rav at Sushtel to Rav's halacha to the Shchaydesh. And therefore, what we do, halacha l'maisa, is we're doiling. Moving along. Zeha klal. Kol sheyesh by musav chol. So the Mishnah gave a rule. The Mishnah said that ordinarily Mondays, Thursdays, Shabbos, Mincha, you have three people that are oil of the Torah. Rosh Chodesh Chol Hamoed, you have four people. Yontif, you have five. Yom Kippur, you have six. And then on Shabbos, you have seven. Ibay luhu. So there's one Kriyas HaTorah that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is a Tainas Tzibur. What do you do about a Tainas Tzibur? And the Gemara is going to talk more specifically about Tisha B'Av. But Tainas Tzibur, Tisha B'Av, what do you do then? How many people are Oilu L'Tayra? So the Gemara says like this, Rosh Chodesh, Umay Dik, Karbin Musaf, Arba. Do you say Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, where there's a Karbin Musaf, you have four people that are Oilu L'Tayra? The four people is because of the Karbin Musaf. Aval Hecha, the lack of Karbin Musaf, Lai. Tainas Tzibur, there's no Karbin Musaf, so there's no Karbin Musaf, therefore not. Oy Dilma, Hacha Nami, Ika Musaf Tfilah. Even though there's no Karbin Musaf, but at the same time, you have an extra Tfilah. The extra tefillah is anenu. So you have an extra tefillah, so maybe that's enough for there to be four. So that was the question. What is the reason there's a fourth aliyah on Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed? Is it because of the carbon mosif? The carbon mosif, you don't have a carbon mosif on a tiny sibor. Is it because of the extra tefillah? So if it's based on the extra tefillah, here too you have an extra tefillah. Right, Rosh Chodesh, you have an extra tefillah. Number one, you have tefillah's mosif. Number two, you have yal v'yavoy. Here too you have an extra tefillah. You have the aneinu. So maybe that in and of itself is going to be enough. So the Gemara says, Toshma bring your right from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Barashi chadashim uv'chayle shomayit kayur narba. Mishnah gave two examples of when you read four. Habatayna sibur gimel. Sounds like a tayna sibur. You don't read four, it's only three. But the Gemara says, Emeresh, if that's a dig, then I'll make the opposite. B'sheni u'b'chamishi u'b'shabbos b'mincha kayur gimel. Ha tainas sibur arba el mihal lekel the mishnah minas. So the Gemara says that from the Mishnah you can't bring a raya, because if you're going to be medayik from the Mishnah, I can be medayik this way, I can be medayik that way. So therefore, the Mishnah itself is not a raya. Says the Gemara. Apparently, we don't have a brisa at this point yet to bring a raya from either. But the Gemara says a maisa that we do have. In fact, this is a maisa rav. With amir rav toshma the rav iklul above. Rav was once in Bavel. Betainas sibur. And it was a tiny sibur. Come Kara B'Sifra, they gave him an aliyah. Pasach, he got up and he, Baruch, he said, Baruch Hos Hashem HaMavoyrach, Asher Bachar Abonim, he called the Amen. Rav said, Birchas HaTayra. Rav was always Kabiris Hashem Mehoincha, Atikr Mehoincha, Lemigroincha. So Rav is giving a Birchas HaTayra. Abachasim, when he finished the aliyah, V'loi Baruch. He didn't make a brach. Nafal Kuli Alman Payu. Afterwards, everyone said, Tachnin, for Rav Loi Nafal Alape. Rav, Nishkezuk Tachnan. Right to Gemara, I don't understand. Mechdi, Rav be Yisrael Kar. Rav was a Yisrael. Rav was not a Goyen. Rav was not a Levi. In fact, Rav was from Shevet Yehuda. He came from David HaMelech. But Rav himself, Al Koponim, was not a Goyen. And he was not a Levi. So the Gemara's question is, my time of Baruch, why then did he not make a bracha at the end of his aliyah, L'chura? If you're going to tell me that this three aliyahs by a tiny sibor, Rav is Yisrael. Rav got the third aliyah. If he got the third aliyah, he should have made a bracha lachre after he finished making. Now, the Gemara assumes that we're right, so he should have made the bracha afterwards. So he should have made the bracha afterwards. Why didn't he do it? Oh, lav mishon. The reason must be the boy lemikri achrin abasre, because there was another person that was going to be Oyel HaTayra. Because on a Tainas Tzibur, you don't just have one Yisrael that goes up for an Aliyah. You have two Yisraelim that go up for Aliyah. Because really you have four Aliyahs. So isn't this a Raya, Shmak a Raya, that you see on a Tainas Tzibur, you have to have four people that are Oyel HaTayra. The Gemara says, like, could be there's no Rai, Rav, Bekani, Kara. Maybe Rav's Aliyah was Koyen. How do you know that? The Rav Kahuna Kari Bekani. Because you find Rav Kahuna used to get Koyen. And even though Rav Kahuna wasn't a Koyen, they used to give him Koyen. And the reason they gave him Koyen was because he was so chashiv that they gave him Koyen. So usually who gets Koyen? A Koyen. But apparently there's an Indian that if someone's such so chashiv, he's Rabin Shal Kol B'nei Agoyla, undisputed. So somebody like that, he sometimes gets kayin. So the Gemara says, just like Rav Huna got kayin, so it makes sense that Rav got kayin. I mean, don't bring any rise from the fact that Rav didn't make the brach. You know why he didn't make the brach? Because he got the first aliyah. Because he wasn't, in the Gemara, Bishlam, Rav Huna, Kari B'Kahani, I understand that Rav Huna would have gotten kayin. Why? The Afilu Rav Ami Rav Asi, the Kahani Chashivad Ar Yisrael, Rav Ami Rav Kahani, who were kayhanim, and they were Chashivad Ar Yisrael, they were make of kaifule the Rav Huna. They subordinated themselves. They were machnia themselves to Rav Huna. So it makes sense that Rav Huna would have gotten kayin. Ela Rav, but Rav, Hayuka Shmuel. I mean, Rav was incredible, but there was also Shmuel, the Kahana Hava, who was a Kayan, the Davar Ale. And you find that Shmuel took precedent over Rav. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Perek Meruba, where the Gemara says that Rav and Shmuel were once walking into a room, and Rav wouldn't walk in before Shmuel. So you see that Rav gave cover to Shmuel, even though Shmuel was much younger than Rav, but you see he gave tremendous cover to Shmuel. So says the Gemara, Rav Huna, I understand. But Rav, you see clearly Rav gave cover to Shmuel, and Shmuel was a kohen, so why would Shmuel have not? Shmuel should have gotten the first aliyah. So the Gemara says that, no, Shmuel nami, make of Havik Kayef Leilarav. Really, Shmuel used to be make of Kayef Leilarav. Ah, you see that story where Rav didn't want to walk in before Shmuel. The Rav would have covered. Rav there gave him covered. That's something that he used to do. But v'chi avid lei b'fanav. When did he give him covet? It was only if he was in his presence. Shalei b'fanav. But if he wasn't in his presence, lei avid lei. Over there, he wouldn't give him any covet. And over here, Shmuel wasn't there. And because Shmuel wasn't there, so therefore it wasn't a problem to give Rav this first aliyah. But really, Rav got the first aliyah. So again, the Gemara said that Rav was once in Bavel. It was a tiny sibur. They gave him an aliyah. He didn't make a bracha l'achre. He made the bracha l'faneh, asher bachar banu, but he didn't say asher nasan lanu teiras emes. Why not? He's a Yisrael. He should have. If there's three aliyahs, it's the last aliyah. The last oil of Torah always makes the bracha l'achrea. The Teretz says, must be there was another Yisrael. Rav got shlishi, somebody else was getting revi. That's the Teretz. So you see, there's four oilim, but the Gemara came out. No, maybe really Rav got kayin. That's what it was. Rav wasn't a kayin. It's true, but he's Rav and Shekol B'nei Agoyla. And Rav and Shekol B'nei Agoyla can get kayin. Really? Shmuel? So the Gemara says it's true, there's also Shmuel, but at the same time, Shmuel was make of Kaif to Rav, and therefore we refer to him as Rav and Shalkol Pnei Agel. The Gemara says, Achinami Mistabra, I'll prove to you that this is the right pshat. The Rav Bekahani Kar, the Rav was coined. Yisrael, but Eitach B'Yisrael Kar, because if he got Yisrael, Lefanel, my time of Baruch, the obvious question, why did he make the Bracha Lefanel? Why did he make the Asher Bachar Banu? So it must be that it was kain. But the Gemara says, no, you have no raya, because maybe really, la'acha takana. Maybe this whole story happened, la'acha de takana. And because it happened, la'acha de takana, which takana? Takana that the Gemara mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf. Meaning it used to be that the first person that was oil of the Torah would make the bracha l'fana, and the last person that was oil of the Torah would make the bracha l'achra. But then there was a takana along the way. And the takana said that every person that's oil should make the bracha l'fana, and he should make the bracha l'achra. What was the reason? People that come late, people that come early, but and the people that leave early. But the point is that this happened la'achatakana. Even if he's Yisrael, he would still make the bracha l'fanah. But the Gemara says ihachi l'achra nami l'varach. So what's going on? So why didn't he make the bracha l'achra? Right, Rav made a bracha l'fanah. He didn't make the bracha l'achra. Mamonav shach. If it's after the takana, that's why he's making the bracha l'fanah, even though he's being oil as a Yisrael, that he should have made the bracha l'achra as well. So the Gemara says, Shani Heicha the Yosef Rav, the male Eili, Meipik Loi Nafki, again with the Nechnasim and the Yoitzin. The reason you make the bracha l'fanah, even if you're the next oil of the Torah, is because maybe somebody came late. And the reason you always make the bracha l'achra, even if you're not the last oila, it's because maybe somebody's going to leave early. But when Rav is present, no one's, it's amazing. People may leave if there's a Sefer Torah. But if Rav was there, nobody was going to leave. Or maybe when Rav's there, people are afraid to leave in the presence of the Sefer Torah. But either way, if Rav is there, nobody's leaving early. And because Rav, nobody's leaving early, therefore you don't have to be worried about the Yoitzin, the Nechnasim, yeah. So it's interesting. This Takonim, Mishum HaNechnasim HaYoitzin, could be would vary from Shtibel to Shtibel. It depends who's there. And depending on what the scenarios, that can make it, that could determine how this is going to play out. But the bottom line is again, we're trying to stay focused here, and that is the Gemara is discussing how many people are oila l'toira on a tainis tzibur. Is it three or is it four? What's the tzadit should be four? Rosh Chodesh is four, Chalamoid is four, and the Gemara thinks maybe a tainis tzibur is like Rosh Chodesh and Chalamoid. What's the Chakira? What are the two Tzadim? Is the reason this four on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed? Because of the Karban Musaf and because of the Tfilas Musaf. So okay, Tanis Tzibur doesn't have a Tfilas Musaf. If it's because there's something extra, that's what it's all about. This also has something extra. At the end of the day, you have Tfilas Aneinu. So the Gemara says, Toshma, I'll bring you a Raya. Zeh HaKlal. Kol Sheyesh Bei Bitul Malach Olam. Any day where if you're going to add aliyas, you're going to cause people not to be able to go to work. You're going tainis tzibur v'tishabav. Tainis tzibur, you're allowed to work. Tishabav, also you're allowed to work. Kairin gimel, you have three people that are oil l'tayvish. Ein b'pitam adlach alam. But if there's a day that's not going to affect people's work, you're going roshei chadashim v'chayil shamayit, such as Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, kairin dalit. So then the halacha is, you're supposed to read four people. So the Gemara Shema Amina, it's pretty checkmate, right? You see clearly that tainis tzibur, not only any tainis tzibur, even tishabav, which is has a lot of extra tefillah, you have Nachem, but the point is, even Tisha B'Av, the halacha is it's only supposed to be three, so it's pretty straightforward. And what does it depend on? It depends on Bittul Melach Alam. On a tainis tzibur, you're allowed to go to work, and therefore, because of Bittul Melach Alam, like Rashi spoke out in the Mishnah, we don't add Hisafis, that's why we're not going to add a fourth aliyah, that's why there's no mafter, that's what this is all about. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there's no Bittul Melach Alam, and it's because of that, that we have four aliyahs. Now, the truth is, Chol HaMoed, there's no Bittul Melach Alam, because even though you can work on Chol HaMoed, but only under certain conditions. Davar HaAvad, but Rosh Chodesh, what kind of no Bittul Melach Alam is there in Rosh Chodesh? Who doesn't go to work on Rosh Chodesh? So Rashi asks the Kasha, and Rashi says that it's true men work on Rosh Chodesh, but women do not work on Rosh Chodesh. And the truth is, we have a whole raid bite on this. It's called the Quasi-Yantif of Rosh Chodesh, and it's very, very much negay this Rashi and this Tosfos, and very much negay understanding the quote-unquote Yantif of Rosh Chodesh. Zok to Gemara. Omer Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, really, what just came out, it sounds like, is we have a Braisa, where the Braisa said that on a Tainas Tzibur, on Tisha B'Av, how many Oilun L'Tayr? You have three people that are Oilun L'Tayr. Vek to Gemara, Va'anan, Loi Tanan Hochi. We don't not that way. Zeh Aklah. Well, I mean, the Mishnah said this is the rule. Kol yom sheyesh by musaf ve'im by yantif karen abba. Right? The Mishnah said any day that has a musaf but is not yantif, you're supposed to be karen arba. What are those days? Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. But the Gemara says zeh klal is always coming to be marba something. Right? This is a rule that wherever the Mishnah mentions this is a rule zeh klal, it means that there's more than what meets the eye. Then in addition to the things that the Mishnah mentioned, there's more than that as well. So what's the Zeh Klal coming to be marba? What could it possibly, there's only one scenario that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is a Tainas Tzibur. Must be that's what it's coming to be marba. So the Gemara said, my love last week, Tainas Tzibur v'Tisha B'Av. Must be it's coming to be marba, Tainas Tzibur and Tisha B'Av. So Rav Ashi seems to argue with what the Braisa said, and he said, not because Rav Ashi has the credentials to argue with the Braisa, but he says, I think the Mishnah says Zeh HaKlal, and it's coming to be Marba something. Must be, it's coming to be Marba, a Tainas Tzibur and Tishba. Faith Gemara, the Rav Ashi, Masi Samani. According to Rav Ashi, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? What do you mean? Loi Tanakama v'loi Rabbi Yosi. It can't be the Tanakama, it can't be Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, because I have another Braisa. Choli is B'Sheni V'Chamishi. It's talking about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av falls down on a Monday or a Thursday. Kerin Gimel, three people are oil the Torah. Umafter Echad. And one person is Mafter. B'Shlishi V'Ravi. If Tisha B'Av falls down on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, Kaira Echad. One person reads, interesting, umafter echad, and one person's mafter. Rabbi Yosi, I mean, Rabbi Yosi is loilam karen gimel. You always have three people that are oila, umafter echad, and one person is mafter. But what do you see from here? You see Tisha B'Av is for sure three. Now, according to you, Rav Ashi, that the Mishnah Zeakal means that Tainas Tzibur and Tisha B'Av is four. I have a Braisa that mentions two Tanaim, and both Tanaim seem to hold that it's one or three, but nobody holds four. So who's going to be the Tana of the Mishnah? It's just very strange that we have one Braisa, and then we have another Braisa that mentions two Tanaim, and you're coming only Mikayach HaZeh HaKlal and a Mishnah, and you're creating this new Shita that doesn't seem to stim with any of the Braises that we had with Messiah. So the Amiram told Rav Ashi, he's the Masader of the whole Talmud Bavli, they said, I hear what you're saying, Zeh HaKlal is coming to be Marba something. But it's not feeling right because it's going connected to all these different sheets. The Gemara says, "No, Elokasha Zeh HaKlal." So, what then is the Zeh HaKlal coming to be marba? So the Gemara says, "Loi lasuye Rosh Chodesh u'moyed." It's coming to be marba. It's a question with the Girsa, the word loy. It's coming to be marba Rosh Chodesh and moyed. Fait the Gemara, what do you mean? Habehed yiktani la. It says in Mefurish, "Brashi chadash u'moyed kair narba." So the Gemara says, "You're right." Simana ba'al miyahiv. Really, what the Mishnah is doing is the Mishnah is just giving a simon. Meaning, usually Zeh HaKlal, that is the rule, is coming to be marba. But this is an exception to the rule. So there's an exception to the rule of the Zeh HaKlal. And that is, over here, really, the Zeh HaKlal is not coming to be marba anything. All it's doing is it's giving you a simen. What does it mean, a simen? Like when the Gemara sometimes will say simen, and then it mentions like a few words, and the purpose of those words, it's a mnemonic. It's supposed to make you be able to easily remember what it is we just said. So we just want a rule that you can take with you for life. So like this, If you ever stalk, you'll know exactly what the Kriyas HaTorah is supposed to be. Meaning, you would have thought that maybe Yantav Chol Moed is the same, right? You can think that. Here's the rule. Anytime you're adding, the day has something more than another day, you add on a Hilkach. And this is the way it works. Rosh Chodesh Umayit Ikka Karben Musav Karen Abba. Rosh Chodesh and Moed, which has a carbon most of right, because we're going now, then how many aliyahs do you have on Tainas Sibur? You only have three. Tisha B'Av is three. Must be the reason you have four by Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed is because of the carbon Mosif, right? Just putting the Gemara together. So the Ika carbon Mosif, Karen Arba. Biyantiv, on Yantiv, the Asav Asiyas Malachi, also not allowed to do Malacha Chamisha. Biyamek Kippurim, where if you do Malacha, Oynish Karis, at Yantiv, someone does Malach, it's Malkis. On Yom Kippur, if someone does Malach, it's Karis. So that's the Hisafa. The Hisafa is in the Oynish. So then it's going to be Karis. And therefore it's going to be Shisha. Shabbos, because it's a skila. Shabbos, which is even more chomer than Yom Kippur. Ein bein Shabbos liyom Kippurim. Elisha says the doyne b'day Adam, v'zez the doyne b'day Shemayim. So there you have skila shiva. You're going to end up with seven. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is the Gemara says that on a tiny sibur, how many oilam l'tayr do you have? You have three oilam l'tayr. You don't have four gufa. So the Gemara brought a story that happened with Rav. So again, Rav was in Bavel, and they gave Rav an aliyah. He was pasach ubarach, but he was chasav loy barach. And then the Gemara said he did something else. Everybody went tachnin. Rav didn't say tachnin. So the Gemara says, gufa, Rav ikla above, Rav was in Bavel. Betayin nesi, become kar besifra. He got up for an aliyah, pasach barach. He made the bracha lefanel, chasav loy barach, but he didn't make the bracha lachreel. Nafakuli aman payu. Everybody went tachnin. Rav le nafal alampe, but Rav didn't say tachnin. So the Gemara says, my time, Rav le nafal alampe. Why didn't Rav say tachnin? So the Gemara says, ritzpa shalavanim hoysa. It's because the floor was made of stone. The Tanya, and we learned in a Braisa, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ve'even maskis lo yisitnu ba'artzachem l'shtacha voisoleh ki ani Hashem elokeichem." And we learn from here that oleh iata meshtacha ve'ba'artzachem. You're not allowed to bow down ba'artzachem on an even maskis. It's a floor that's made out of stone. Avalata meshtacha ve'levanu shabeis hamikdash. And beis hamikdash, you are allowed to. To ulu, like ulu said, amar ulu said le'yasur tayra elo ritzpa shalavanim bilvah. That it's a ritzpa shalavanim outside of the beis hamikdash. You're not allowed to bow down. But the bottom line is, you're not allowed to bow down on a ritzpa shalavanim on a floor that's made out of stone. And that's why Rav didn't go tachnun, because going tachnun, the way Rav did it was going to mean full-fledged tishtachava. And that's something that Rav held, you're not allowed to do, on a stone floor. And therefore, he didn't do it. So, I understand, if the floor was made of stone, so why did only Rav not go tachnun? No one else should have done it. So the Gemara says, Kameh de Rav Hava, the stone was only where Rav was, but where everybody else was, there was no stone. So then why didn't he go there? Valimpel and say tachnun. So the Gemara says, Leboy l'mitchuch tzibura. He didn't want to be matriach de tzibur. So not to be matriach de tzibur, he didn't say tachnun. The iba yisemo, or you could say Rav pishur yidayim raglayim ofed. Rav used to do pishur yidayim raglayim. I mean, there's different ways to go tachnun, as we're about to see. I mean, the way we do it is we just take our left hand and or right hand if you're wearing tefillin, and you just go tachnun on the table. But Rav was a much more dramatic form of tachnun, and because it was a much more dramatic form of tachnun, so therefore he couldn't do it in the traditional meaning. Everybody else was doing a regular tachnun; it wasn't a problem. Rav's tachnun is ishtachava, and that's the type of thing that you're not allowed to do on an Evan mask is on a floor that's made out of stone. Freit the Gemara, Philippa Lalap. He said, why don't you just do a regular tachlon? Veloy la'avid, pishu yadayim raglayim. Meaning, why couldn't he just change and alter the way he does tachnun? Le'mishani miminhagi. He didn't want to change his minik. V'iba yisem the Gemara says, maybe I'll hold it from Shani. You want to know why Rav didn't go tachnun? Because Adam Chashev Shani. Rav is an Adam Chashev, kid Rabbi Lazar. And it's based on something Rabbi Lazar said. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, Ein Adam Chashev Rashoi Libel Aponov. An Adam Chashev is not allowed to go tachnun. Elim kein nenek Yeshua ben Nun. Unless he knows so sure he's going to be answered. And we know it from Yeshua ben Nun. The Chesed Hashem al Yeshua, kum Lech, Hashem tells Yeshua ben Nun that kum loch. Lama ze ata neufel al panacha. So you see, he told Yeshua ben Nun, why are you going to? It's not so posh to be neufel al apayim. And therefore, Rav thought, as Adam Chashev, he had to not do it, Elim Kane, unless he was so confident he was going to be answered. This is more Hilchas Tefila related to Rav. We always talk about that. Like Yivri Alma El Ladavid. But that's why Rav didn't want to do it. So the Gemara says, either it was because there was a stone floor, or because Ein Adam Chashev Rashoy Lipal Alpanim, Elim Kane Nana. And we learned it from Yeshua ben Tanu Rabbanan. On the topic of bowing down, of quote-unquote tachnun, kida alapayim. One way for a person to prostrate himself is through kida. What is kida? Kida means you just put your face down. Shenema vatikoy basheva apayim arza. Apayim, that's what it means. Kriya, what does that mean? Al birkayim, that involves your knees. V'chenu oimer, the pasuk says, mikroya al birkov. Hishtachava, so pishut yodayim v'raglayim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, havoy novoy ani ve'imcha v'achecha lehishtachava yislocha orzo. So what does hishtachava mean? Orzo, you're completely on the ground. Levi, the Gemara says, ach v'chida kamei de'Rebbe. So he mentioned kidas alapayim. Levi once demonstrated kida in the presence of Rebbe v'itla, and he became lame. Meaning he injured himself. Is that true? A person should be very careful the way he davens, even the way he talks to Hashem. Because a very chashuv of a person once spoke very sharply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he became like, Mani, who was that person? Levi. It was Levi. Rashi quotes the Gemara, Tainis, Tavchafei, Amar Aleph. That's the rest of the story. So the Gemara says, which one was it? Did Levi get injured because of the fact that he demonstrated kida, or did he get angry because of the fact that he spoke a certain way? So where it says hava hagar malay, both. Amar Rabbi Barabin, chazino lula abaya. What does it mean, both? Meaning, what physically caused the injury was the fact that he demonstrated kida. But why would he have gotten injured? Everything has a cheshbon. The cheshbon was because he was hitiach tvarim klapi mailo. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Barabin said, chazino lula abaya v'rava, aiso abaya v'rava go tachnon. And what did they do? The matzli atzluye. They used to do it on the side. They didn't do a regular tachnon, but they compromised it a little bit. And what's the reason? Rashi says, because we just said an Adam Chashev can't just do it. So what they would do is they would do it in some sort of compromise. So like this, it wouldn't be a regular tachnon, so you wouldn't get involved in violating that halacha. So again, what was the topic of today's daf? It was really made up of three things. It was made up, the first part of the daf was the Kriya Satayra for Shchaydesh. How do you have four people that are oil of the Torah? The Kriya for Shchaydesh is made up of three parashias, the parasha of the Talmud, and then the Musaf of Shabbos, the Musaf of Shchaydesh. But just the way it's set up, 8 psukim, 2 psukim, 5 psukim, with all the rules of how you're supposed to be oil of the Torah, so what are you supposed to do? Rava said that Zuloi Shamati, but I think we can shtel tzu the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel of by the Mamadois on the first day where they had a similar issue, and it was Machloikis Rav and Shmuel had to get around it. A major Shas Hatchak. Rav said, Doileg, repeat one of the psukim. Shmuel said, Poisek, stop in the middle of a pasuk. Said Rava, it's Yitachin that Machlekes Rav and Shmuel would apply here as well, and which is what we do. We paskin like Rav, and what we do is with Doileg, we read one pasuk, V'yomer to Lohem, that's a pasuk that we chaza twice. Second part of the daf was how many people are supposed to be Oilu the Torah on a Taina Sivur, and specifically also on Tisha B'Av. Ordinarily three. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, it's four. And the Gemara Shaila really came to the crux of why do we add an extra Oil HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed. Is the reason because of the Karban Mosav and the Tfilas Mosav? So you don't have a special Karban, you don't have a special Tfilah on a Taina Sivur. Is it because there's just more davening? Right? You say Hallel, you say Alev Yov, it's just more going on. A Taina Sivur is the same thing. So based on that, you can argue that here too you would have an extra Oil HaTorah. What was the Maskana? A little bit of Chloikis, some drama with a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. But the bottom line is, three. You have three people that are Oil HaTorah, and then finally, the Gemara ended with a little bit of a digression, because the Gemara had brought a story with Rav being Oil HaTorah, which was pertinent to the second part of the daf, and the Gemara just ended off with that, and that is Rav was once in a kehila, everybody went tachnun, and Rav didn't go tachnun, and the Gemara was trying to figure out why he didn't go tachnun. The Gemara had a few different reasons. One interesting one is that Adam Chashev, it's not so poshin, ain Adam Chashev Rashoi Lipal Alpanev Elim Kenan, unless he's confident that he's going to be answered, because it could be a Chil Hashem, that you have an Adam Chashev that goes and he makes such a fuss, he lies himself out there, literally, and he's davening, and then he's not answered, so what are people going to say? So an Adam Chashev has to be a little bit more protective of his turf, and it's for that reason, even to say tachnun, it's something he's not allowed to do. It's just interesting. We always say this, but it's just always true. And that is, today's daf is Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And of course, not coincidentally, we have a whole daf that talks about Rosh Chodesh, the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh, and even this famous Rashi that we have a related rate by to with regards to the Yontif of Rosh Chodesh. So again, just another little wink from up top. And that is that Megait of the Gruda Mahalach, and that is, you have Megillah Daf Chav Beis, which is a daf that's synonymous with Rosh Chodesh, which falls out exactly on Rosh Chodesh.